Hello and welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy Campbell interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I am joined today by two incredible people. I have with me Kayla Bates and Thomas Butel. Hello, friends.
Hi.
Hello there.
I'm so excited that you're both here and I would love to learn more about you. So Kayla, if you can let us know where we can find you on the internet.
Yeah, I co-host a podcast called Screen Vomit, which is a modern movie podcast. We break down movies from the last 10 years, often accompanied by guests from the entertainment industry. We're everywhere at Screen Vomit, just one word on all the things.
Fantastic. All right, Thomas, what about you?
Well, I'm Thomas Butel, and I host the Creative Shoofly podcast, which is my journey into the creative process and discovering all the ways that I get, you know, in my way and how to get out of my way when it comes to creating art. And I'm also co-host of the HSP World podcast, which is a conversation about highly sensitive persons. And I have two co-hosts, Rain and Robin, and we invite a guest to talk about the HSP trait, about highly sensitive, you know, what it is like to be highly sensitive.
And it's wonderful. I'm so glad that you are both here. I think I already said that.
Thank you for having us.
It's fine. I can thank you again because this is my show. I can thank you as many times as I want. Spoiler, I will thank you again at the end, because that's how this works. But we're not there yet. We're getting ready. We're going to hop into our time machine. We're going to head back to who knows how long in the past. And I would love to learn how you started listening to podcasts and what were some of the first ones that you were listening to?
So maybe five or six years ago or so, I was dating someone who was super into podcasts, and they were just on a mission to get me into them as well. I actually remember the very first episode specifically. Ooh. Of a podcast that I listened to.
That's impressive.
My background is in the music industry. I was a musician and a promoter for like over a decade. My partner at the time suggested this episode of Comedy Bang Bang to me, where American Football, the band, was the guests. So that's the very first episode of a podcast I ever listened to. And just kind of spun off from there. Comedy Bang Bang, they have all kinds of comedians on, and many of them have their own podcasts. So just kind of went from there, started listening to the guests' podcasts, and now I'm a big old podcast freak. So
I love how people get so excited about podcasts, maybe something that in particular that they listen to. And as soon as somebody hears that someone doesn't listen to podcasts, you're there like, hey, how about this one? Do you like this one? Let's listen to this one. You should try this show. Ooh, what about this? What kind of things do you like? And you get down this whole like snowball avalanche worth of ideas to try and get somebody into podcasts.
Or the best one is, oh, you should do your own.
Yeah. Well, that's the next question, Thomas. So don't get excited yet.
I know.
We got to finish this one out first. Thomas, let's hear about your start.
You know, I started listening, or I was actually pretty aware of it when it was still called audio blogging, before the term podcast was actually even created. So I was following this blogger. His name is Dave Weiner, and he is one of the co-creators of the RSS format. And then he got together with Adam Curry and created podcasting. And I was interested actually from a more of a technical point of view, because I thought, oh, this is something that's up and coming. Maybe I should learn about it, just in case any of my clients ask me about it. And indeed, I did have a client who had a very early podcast, and I helped them, you know, figure out, okay, how do we create MP3s? How do we upload them to the server? All that good stuff. And I guess early on, I was listening to Adam Curry's No Agenda show, and eventually I got tired of that and then didn't pick up podcasts again until a few years ago.
I've noticed an interesting like history of like podcastings, people that are deeply involved and interested in podcasts when they first came out, when it was a high tech level, when you had to figure out how to get it onto the servers and how do your fans listen to the show and the whole, like before you could just tap it on your phone and being able to, you know, plug in something to your computer to get it onto your device and right. hope that you had enough podcasts available for your day. Because if you were going to be, if your day is scheduled differently and you ran out, oh my goodness, the world was ending. But I love the idea that people at that time would listen and love and then, you know, stopped and had a pause for a moment and then being able to get back involved in what was going on with the wide variety of shows that are available and the wide range of industries and topics. It makes me so excited about the podcasting as a whole because there's so much variety out there.
Yeah. And it's just becoming more and more accessible for creators.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Love it. All right. So now we can answer Thomas's sneak peek of the question. But I would love to know what made you want to pick up a microphone and start making your own podcast to add to the glorious availability that is here.
So for me, I mean, there were several reasons that kind of culminated. So like I said, I do a movie podcast. So at the time, me and my best friend that I co-host my podcast with, we're both going to the movie theater a lot, seeing a ton of movies and just not really finding an outlet to talk about them or even finding other people talking about them a lot because going to the movie theater is kind of a dying art, I guess. but, you know, even ones that did exist, we felt like our perspective was kind of missing from like I'm queer and non-binary and my co-host is a comedian and a social worker and we're both really interested in discussions involving those viewpoints, I guess.
Yeah.
and a lot of other movie podcasts just don't address that or they're all hosted by men who just miss a lot of the subtext. Mm. So there was that. We also just like love movies. We have a big love for them and we kind of wanted to share that with other people who a lot of people, you know, want to get into watching a lot of movies but are maybe overwhelmed by content or don't know where to start. So helping like kind of signal boost some things seemed cool too. And, you know, making film and film discussion a little more accessible to people who aren't like movie geniuses as
right.
well was interesting to us because, you know, we didn't consider ourselves to be like we didn't go to film school. We don't, a lot of other podcasts are like dropping names left and right and I'm like lost instantly, you know? So just making everything a little more accessible to the layman as well was, So, I was, like I said, a musician before, so I pretty much already had, like, the gear and the know-how to record myself and the DIY spirit. So I was like, let's just start a podcast. I think it could be cool. We're funny and we have, you know, good observations, I think. So, that's kind of where we started.
That's fantastic. I love that you what I love about podcasting is because it is so accessible to so many different people. People are like, I have a voice, I have a position, I have a different way of looking at something. So yes, even though there's a million different, you know, movie podcasts out there, yours is so special because it's with the two of you.
Yeah.
And that makes a difference to people and wanting to hear takes on movies from somebody that may have their own ideas and viewpoints, and being able to look, I can't get into, you know, there's certain movies that I don't like, which is fine. And I don't necessarily want to hear, you know, four white dudes talking about it because of, you know, whatever. So being able to pull different points of view and different ideas and different thoughts is just so it's what makes us so powerful.
Sure. Yeah. And I do a lot of research on the movies too. So like we're always bringing in a lot of facts about production and things like that. So they can be a bit educational, even if you don't care that much about the movie or whatever too. So yeah, I think it's really fun.
Amazing. All right, Thomas, what made you want to pick up that microphone?
You know, part of the answer is I don't know.
That's a perfectly fine answer.
So I was following a singer-songwriter on Instagram, and they published an experimental podcast called Discursive. And they were describing how they were describing a story about them as a three-year-old playing with their little cassette recorder, and struggling with the cassette recorder and struggling to say their own full name and all that kind of stuff. And I connected with that, because when I was, probably 4 years old, my grandfather recorded me. He had one of these big old reel-to-reel recorders, maybe 15 years ago, a cousin of mine sent me a cassette tape copy of that recording. I guess they'd found the reel to reels and recognized me as a 4 year old, you know? So I wrote back to that singer songwriter and I said, you know, I really connected with the story that you told on your podcast. And here's why. I told, you know, what I was hearing and when I listened to myself as a 4 year old. And they said, well, you should start your own podcast. That's a great story. And I've been thinking about it, and I do have the hardware and all that. And so I said, yeah, you know, why not? So that's, I did a little bit of research, and my interest of late has been, like I said, the creative process. I had the good fortune of being an artist in residence at a local gallery, and it was an incredible experience, but it was also sort of like a big wake up call for like, how do I go about doing art and keeping at it and all that good stuff. And so, so I started the podcast, and like a week later, a colleague of mine at HSP World said, you know, we're thinking about starting a podcast too. Would you be willing? And I said, yeah, sure. So like within a week, I was, you know, producing two podcasts. And it's been fantastic. It's, you know, my podcast, The Creative Shoefly, is just about my discovering that, you know, going on that journey and discovering things about myself. The HSP World podcast is conversations with people, and both of them have just been, you know, just incredible in terms of learning for me.
That's so wonderful. I love the fact that you have two different styles of podcasts, two different shows. One is just you, and one has the grouping of the two, you know, multiple people with multiple mindsets and multiple stories, and how different yet similar they can be, I would imagine. And being able to produce both of those shows with the idea of getting that content out there and being able to be your authentic self in both of those ways is pretty great.
And part of what the singer-songwriter told me, she said, you know, I use this new tool called Descript. I don't know if you've talked about this before, but it takes your words and creates a transcript, and then editing the podcast is just like editing a Word document. And I'm sorry to sound like a commercial for Descript here, but
no, please.
But that's when the light went on for me and said, you mean I don't have to sit in a like GarageBand or, you know, audio, you know, waveforms? And it's like, okay, I had to try that. And I tried it, and it's like, it's amazing. It's very productive for me, at least. So.
Yeah, it's great, especially for single voices and being able to go through that. That's amazing. I'm so glad that you have that tool available to help make it even easier for you.
It was a godsend. I mean, I don't think I would. Here's what I think. I don't think I would have started podcasting if it weren't for that recommendation. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, that makes things so much more productive and easy. And like I said, sorry for sounding like a commercial for that product.
Hey, this show's here to promote whatever it is. And yeah. If there's something... So there might be somebody who's listening to this who wants to start a show, but is intimidated with GarageBand or Audition or Audacity or whatever, you know, technical side of things. And the fact that Descript exists and works so well means that it becomes even more accessible, which is fantastic. And I love that. Love it, love it, love it, love it so much. All right. So if you were to pull out your phone right now and hit play in your podcast app of choice, which episode would start?
I believe I was listening to the latest episode of the Urgent Care podcast, which is a hosted by two comedians, Joel Kimbooster and Mitra Juhari. They give advice, but they're comedians. So it's pretty funny. And they just have people write in and call in with the questions and answer them. Yeah.
I love that. I hadn't heard of that show before. That's fantastic.
It's really fun.
Yay. Fun shows are fun.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. What about you, Thomas? What would play?
You know, I was just listening to Clear and Vivid with Alan Alda, and he was talking with a researcher about Alzheimer's disease. He has so many good conversations, and he's also a good interviewer. And so I just like listening to him and listening to the questions that he asks.
He's one of those voices that just is immediately recognizable. And I love that he has embraced this medium in a way that he has. You can tell he just really enjoys these conversations, and being able to talk to such a wide range of people is so cool. I love his show. All right. We are down to the final podcast-related question before we hit the bonus round. And I would love to know what some of your favorite podcasts are. And yes, you may have more than one. And why do you love them so much?
Okay, well, I have a few, I think. I have like a brainless job. So I listen to podcasts all day long, every day at work. So I listen to a bunch, but I picked a couple. Okay, so Big Grande's Teacher's Lounge is probably my favorite comedy podcast. It's a like improv group who they all have characters, and their characters are that they are teachers. And this is like their conversation in the teacher's lounge about what's going on at their school or whatever. And they're just the funniest guys ever. And they have guests on sometimes, other comedians. And their podcast is just so zany, and like, I can barely listen to it in public because I'll just be walking around with my headphones laughing out loud, looking like an insane person. It's just so funny. So Big Grande Teacher's Lounge, Stradio Lab is another one that I really like. That is, it's two queer comedians who always have a guest from the entertainment industry, and they pick a topic that they consider to be straight culture and like unpack that. Oh, and it's always like something really, it's like really goofy. Like it might be like one episode was like sheds and garages are straight culture, or like one was like Jim and Pam, or like ketchup. Like it's like,
oh my goodness,
it's just so, it's so goofy, but they're also just like very funny. And that's called Stradio Lab. Obviously a play on Radiolab. there's a podcast called Reveal that I really like. Okay, different tone, investigative journalism podcast, but it covers like social injustices, mainly in the US, but also some globally, that I just feel like I learned so much from that podcast. I really love listening to that. And lastly, I'll say another movie podcast, never seen it. I guess I'm throwing out a lot of comedy, but
it's all
this good. This comedian Kyle Ayers has other comedians on to write a script for a major movie or show that they've never seen. Like one of those things where when you say it, people are like, "What? You haven't seen whatever, The Sopranos?" And like, so these people come on and write a script for what they think that movie or show would be like that they have never seen. And it's always really funny, and they play games and stuff. That's like another one I like, never seen it.
Oh, that's so fun. I love the idea that especially, so let me try this again. Society has this like layers and layers of cultural whatever built into, you know, The Sopranos or these shows that are so, people know what they are, even if they don't know what they are, even if they've never seen them, you know what The Sopranos is about most of the time. Right. And I love that idea that they take it and they have to tell the plot, basically.
Right.
That's so entertaining. I love it.
Yeah. It's usually really funny. And then they play some games afterwards that are all movie related and fun. Yeah, that's a great show. It's a great concept.
I love it. Oh, man, people are so creative. It's so good. All right, Thomas, what about you? What are your favorites?
You know, what's interesting about what you said, Kayla, is listening. You listen to a lot of podcasts. And I, because I do coding for a living, I can't listen to spoken word while I'm working. So I have to be sort of very selective, I guess, about when I get to listen to podcasts. I like Unlocking Us with Brené Brown. You know, she talks about shame and vulnerability. It's just I just love listening to her. One of the podcasts that I listen to is Outside Land San Francisco, which is a history podcast for the western half of San Francisco, which is where I live. It's very geeky and nerdy, and it's very, very local. You know, it's you probably wouldn't be able to connect with it unless you lived here type of thing, you know, which is something I like about it. I love creativity podcasts. So the one I'm listening to right now is called Dear Creativity, Let's Play by Amy Eisman. She just has some fantastic interviews, and she also does some solo stuff. And what I like about her focus is the play part. Like, how do you get more play into your life, which I love. And then there's a couple podcasts that are no longer being produced, but because of the nature of podcasting, they still exist. You can still, you know, subscribe to them and binge them. There's The Creative Sandbox Way by Melissa Dinwiddie, and then Magic Lessons by Elizabeth Gilbert. Both, again, talking about creativity, but you know, neither of them are being produced anymore. But you know, they have hundreds of episodes that you can just binge if you want. It's like, you know, doing Netflix binging, something like that.
Yeah, I love the fact that unless you stop the hosting support for a show, you can listen to so many things that exist in the world that somebody put their time, effort, energy, money into to create, and then it just lives there. You don't necessarily have to worry about Netflix not hosting it for you anymore. And some people really enjoy the fact, like having an end date, an end episode. So they're like, okay, I'm going to listen to these 40 episodes of a show and that's it. That's all. And the idea of like a mini season of a podcast idea, and the structural aspects of this industry just are constantly, I'm constantly in awe of what's created and what becomes not accepted, but kind of accepted. Like you can do whatever you want because it's your show. Mm-hmm. There's no networks restricting, and there's no, you know, oh, well, this is the only way to do a podcast. You could say no and do kind of whatever you want.
Right. Yeah.
I do worry a little bit about some companies trying to capture certain podcasts. Like there's some podcasts that are, you know, on one platform and they're no longer available on iTunes and Google Podcasts and all that. So that's kind of, to me, that's kind of a worrying thing that's sort of shown up in the world. But I hope that that most people just keep their podcasts wide open and accessible from everywhere.
Yeah. Do you think that's going to stick? I've seen a few podcasts move over to, like you're saying, like the pay to play or whatever, like kinds that you have to like pay money to access or whatever, that they have then come back to be in main feeds, because I don't know that people are willing to pay a whole bunch of services for podcasts yet, at least.
Yeah, I don't I don't necessarily see it sticking around.
Yeah.
Even like, you know, the biggest ones like Seth Rogen, you have to have the Spotify, whatever. I don't see it being a thing as much.
Yeah.
I can see, you know, the big companies coming in and trying to own it. But I think maybe if they had done it like 5 to 10 years ago, it would have been different. But because
we're so exhausted by subscription services already.
Yeah. Right. And we have such a deep history of what podcasts are, and not being able to download them into my Overcast on my phone means in my mind that they're just not a podcast.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. It's so interesting though. It'll be really interesting to see in the next 5, 10 years what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not overly concerned.
No.
I mean, the good news, as we said, is look at all these beautiful tools that are being created to allow you to create it better, faster, quicker, you know.
Yeah.
Easily. I'm excited. I'm just so excited.
Yes.
Yes.
And in an industry that if you look at like movies and TV, it's so new still, but it's really writing its history, and it's being written by the people that are doing it, not by a larger money-making machine, which I think is really interesting, and it'll be really intriguing to see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, friends, you know what time it is. It's time for the bonus question. Audience, if you have a question you would like me to ask our guests, just tweet with the hashtag FIYE bonus. That's fire bonus. I also would love to hear your answers to my bonus question. So tweet with the hashtag FIYE answer. That's fire answer to share your answers to my questions. And this episode's question is, what is the funniest name you can think of for a pet?
Oh, gosh. I have always named my pets after celebrities because I think that's really funny.
I love it.
like, okay, now I can't think of a single name of a pet.
It's okay. You can take a moment, breathe.
Like, I had a ferret named Patty Mayonnaise.
Oh my gosh.
A sugar glider named Mick Jagger. I had a snake named Benicio del Toro.
oh my goodness.
I guess it kind of goes on from there, but I just think that that's pretty funny to name your pets after celebrities or characters, I guess. So that's what I think.
I love it. I love it. All right, Thomas, what about you?
Well, the first, I don't know why, but the first name that came up to me was like Mr. Wigglebottoms or something.
I love it.
We once had an aquarium full of fish, and because they all looked the same, we named them all Elliot. So we had this full of Elliots. Now we have betas, and they're all named after Greek gods and goddesses. So
that's fun.
Stephanie and Poseidon and Hades and you name it. So we're going the god and goddess route now.
I love it. I love when families have like themes for their pets. Our family does alphabet. So it started kind of naturally almost. I had a dog named Angel when I got married, and then we got a cat named Basil, and we adopted a cat from a friend who was named Cleo. And we're like, when we got a dog later, we're like, well, we gotta name it a D name now. Yeah. Because it's just kind of the way it needs to do. And we are down to M now.
Wow.
So wow. We're working our way through the alphabet really well. So what happens when you have multiple small animals that don't live very long? I love it. Well, thank you both so much. Look at me thanking again. I'm going to thank them for their bonus question answers, as well as the answers to all of the other podcast related questions that I had. And thank you, audience, for listening to this episode of Friends in Your Ears. You can find us online at friendsinyourears.com or on Twitter at Friends in Ears. You can find Kayla at Screen Vomit, and Thomas is at Butelevision, and I am at Mrs. Soup. Thank you again so much, and I hope you all have an absolutely amazing day.